Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Abul Karatan, a synagogue midrashah, pre-Shavuos, two-part lecture series. I thank Rabbi Shabtai and the Abul Karatan Synagogue Midrashah very much for inviting me to present these shiurim. I thank you all for joining our learning this evening. So we are going to begin in Perek Yud Tes. I'm going to start by screen sharing. I have prepared for you on my screen right here. I'm going to begin by screen sharing Perek Yud Tes of Shemos, which is Parshas Yisro, and that is the Parsha of Matan Torah. Paula, could you see my screen? Because right now you're the only one I could see. Okay, very good. So Perek Yud Tes is the prelude to Matan Torah. It's the preparation for Matan Torah. Perek Chof begins Aseres HaDibros. As we learn this evening, we're 1 week away from Chag HaShavuos, Zman Matan Torah Seinu. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, at this time, we will be celebrating the Yom Tov of Kabbalas HaTorah. So we are in Perek Yud Tes, and the Pesukim tell us, and here you see it on my screen, please, Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud, Vayom Hashem HaMoshe. This is just some of the preparation as the people prepare for Ma'amat Har Sinai. And Hashem said to Moshe, Lech al Ha'am, go to the people, Vikidashtam Hayam Umachar. And I'm going to tell you what Targum Unka says. What is it, Vikidashtam? Does it mean make them holy? No. Targum Unka says, Usizamininun Yoma. Dein umachar, lizamein, get them ready. Prepare the people today and tomorrow. V'chib susim losam. So the idea here of Kedusha is that the people should prepare themselves for an encounter with Kedusha. V'hayu nechonim l'yom hashlishi. They shall be prepared for the third day. Rashi says, you see it on this side of the screen, muvdali mi'isha, they have to separate from the woman. What is the third day? The third day of preparation, not the third day of the month. What is the third day of preparation? You see it right here, shuhu shisha b'chodesh. We're talking about the sixth of Sivan. Ki b'yom hashlishi, because on the third day, Yered Hashem le'enei kol ha'am al Har Sinai, God will descend before the eyes of the entire people atop Har Sinai, and Targum Unklus never assigns anthropomorphic qualities to Hashem, so he would never explain that God will descend, God does not come down, so to speak. Rather, Targum Unklus says, Yiskili Hashem le'enei kol ha'am. God will reveal himself on the third day, which Rashi says is on the sixth of Sivan. God will reveal himself before the eyes of the entire people. V'higbalta es ha'am saviv. You should set up a gvul, you should set up a border for the people all around the mountain. Hishamru lachem, be very careful, alos bahar, from ascending the mountain. Don't touch the edge of the mountain. Anyone who touches the mountain will surely die. So no one's allowed to touch the mountain. No one's allowed to ascend. You have to set up a border. Lo sigabo. You shall not touch the mountain. Yad. No hand shall touch the mountain. Ki sakel yisakel. O yarei yarei. He will be stoned. He will be cut down from an animal to a man. He will not live. When can they touch the mountain? When can they ascend the mountain? Bimsho chayoval hema ya'alu bahar. When the shofar blasts, signifying God's presence has departed from the mountain, then they can ascend the mountain. And Rashi says right here, "Bimsho chayovel, kisho yimsho chayovel kol aroch." When the shofar blasts a strong, long blast, hu siman siluk shechina, it is a sign that the shechina is departing from the mountain. The hafsakas hakol, and the stopping of the voice, v'kevan she'estalek. And once I depart, says God, "Hein rasha'in la'lot." So when Hashem is on the mountain, we have seen you must set up a border around Har Sinai. No hand can touch the mountain, no one can ascend the mountain from man to animal, or they will fall, they will be cut down. When the people can ascend the mountain is that the sound of the shofar will signify the after Har Sinai, the long sound of the shofar blast will signify God's presence has departed. And then says Rashi, Kevan she'estalek, once God departs the mountain, hey masha'in la'los, they are permitted to go up once again. It reminds me very much, and the news out of Eretz Yisrael has been pretty intense the past couple of weeks and escalated a lot yesterday and today, Rahman al-Assan, the Arabs are rioting. Many police officers have been injured, a near lynching today, in the, old city, near the old city by the gates. Rockets have reached as far as Yerushalayim, very difficult situation. It reminds me when we were in, when I lived in Eretz Yisrael, I was in ninth grade. It was the 1990-1991 year of the Gulf War. And to go into the Cheder Atum, the sealed rooms, when the missiles were incoming, there was a siren. And then there was a siren when you could come out. Lahavdil, excuse me, but there was a siren you could come out, known as the all clear. So when Hashem gives the all clear, Lahavdil, Alfei Avdalos, on Har Sinai, that's when you can go up again. Vayered Moshe min ha'har la'am, and Moshe went down to the people from the mountain. Vayikadesh es ha'am, pasuk yudalid, and Targum Unka says again here, v'zamin yasama. He gets the nation prepared. They're getting ready. Vayichabsu simlosam, and they wash their clothing, and he says to the people, be prepared for the third day. We already saw that six sivan, do not touch a woman. It will be on the third day in the morning. There will be thunder and there lightning and a heavy cloud on top of the mountain and a big shofar blast, very strong. And everybody who was in the camp was trembling. And they stood under the mountain, and the mountain was smoking in its entirety because Hashem had descended upon the mountain in fire. Again, Unkus will say here that Hashem revealed himself, and it was smoking like the smoke of a furnace, and even the mountain was shaking. And the sound of the shofar blast was going and very, very strong. Moshe would speak, and God would answer in a voice. And Hashem descends onto the mountain. Hashem says the Aseres HaDibros to the Bnei Yisrael. So this is the prelude and the getting ready for Matan Torah. So we have this idea here that while God has descended onto the mountain, the people are not allowed to touch the mountain. Moshe must set up a border all around. No animal, no man. When the all clear sounds, the long shofar blast, it signifies the departure of the Shekhinah from the mountain, and then the people may ascend the mountain. So what I want to talk about today is this idea of Kabbalah HaTorah in the realm of Kedusha. What is Kedusha? What is holiness? So Rabbi Zev Lev, I was listening to a shir the other week, Zablov said, Kedusha is where Hashem's presence is, and where Hashem's presence is not Kedusha. So Kedusha equals where the Ribbono Shel Olam resides, Kaviyachol, where the Ribbono Shel Olam dwells. Even think about how much sense it makes. What do you call the Holy of Holies? Kodesh Kedashim, where the Shekhinah resided between the two Kruvim, on top of the Aron Kodesh. What do we even call that space? The Holy of All Holies, because that's where Hashem was mitzamtzem, kaviyachol, the Shekhinah contracted from infinity and dwelled in a finite space. So wherever you have the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is Kedusha. The absence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in that space, so to speak, is the absence of Kedusha. So Rabbi Lev gave a story. I told it over at the table Friday night. The conversation came around to, it was interesting, we're having a conversation about atheism and Avodah Zarah. And my husband was saying, today nobody worships Avodah Zarah. So my daughter said, it's not exactly correct. There are different forms of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah literally means foreign worship. So I shared the following story that I happened to hear from Rabbi Lev a few weeks ago, but it really related to the discussion at the table. Rabbi Lev told over that he's currently the Rav Moshe of Matityahu, but when he was a rabbi in Miami, he often speaks about his experiences in Miami from many decades ago. Before he made Aliyah, he was a young rabbi in Miami, and he said there was a woman who called him in a total panic. Why was she in a panic? She said, Rabbi, you have to help me. My husband just came from a doctor appointment, and the doctor told him the husband was a individual with a health problem, but it was well controlled by medication. And the doctor told him, sir, you must eat, didn't say a name, all three meals on Yom Kippur, regular meals. If you don't eat regular meals on Yom Kippur, you jeopardize your health. So the man said, listen, doctor, I haven't eaten on Yom Kippur since before my bar mitzvah. I'm not starting now. So doctor said, you're jeopardizing your health. You must eat three regular meals. The man came home. He told his wife, and his wife was panicked. And he said, honey, I haven't eaten since before my bar mitzvah on Yom Kippur. I'm not eating now on Yom Kippur. So the wife called Rabbi Lev, and she was very, very anxious, and she was in a panic. So Rabbi Lev said, he's going to call the doctor. So he calls this doctor, who was Jewish but not observant. And the doctor said, Rabbi, the man has to eat three regular meals on Yom Kippur, or he jeopardizes his health. Rabbi Lev asked him some questions about the condition, just to understand that. And then Rabbi Lev called a frum doctor to consult with, and he said, maybe this is, you know, a non-observant doctor who just thinks everybody has to eat on Yom Kippur no matter what. So he called the observant doctor, not affiliated with the case. He said, if you had a patient with this and this situation, medication controls the condition, what would you tell him? The frum doctor said he has to eat three regular meals on Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Lev called the man and he said, listen, your wife, your personal doctor, and another doctor I consulted with all agree you must eat three regular meals on Yom Kippur. So the man said, Rabbi, you can't tell me what to do. I haven't eaten on Yom Kippur since before my bar mitzvah. I'm not eating now on Yom Kippur. I don't care what you say. So Rabbi Zev Lev said, listen, if you fast on Yom Kippur, you will never get another kibud in Arshul. Nothing, not Hagbah, not an aliyah, you will not daven for the amid, you will never get another kibud ever in our shul. So the man said, Rabbi, what? Rabbi Lev said, we're a very open shul. We give aliyahs to all sorts of people. We give aliyahs to people who drive to shul. We do this, we do that. But I have never given, said Rabbi Lev, an aliyah to someone who is an oved avodah zarah. So the man said, oved avodah zarah, I'm not oved avodah zarah. I don't want to eat on Yom Kippur. V'nisim es nafsho seichem. Ba'asar l'chodesh. Rabbi Lev said, listen, I don't care if your God is called Zeus or if your God is called the Yom Kippur God. But the God you are worshiping by insisting on fasting on Yom Kippur is not the God of the Torah. The God of the Torah says you must eat on Yom Kippur. And if you choose to fast on Yom Kippur this year, then you are worshiping Avodah Zarah. He might be called the Yom Kippur God, he might be called Zeus, but you are not welcome in a shul to ever get an aliyah ever again. We do not give aliyahs to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Lev said, P.S., the man fasted. The man ate, I'm sorry. I said the same thing Friday night at the table. They said, Mom, you said it wrong. The man, and they never heard it before. But the end of the story is that the man ate on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Lev said, apparently his aliyahs were very important to him. Everybody in the audience laughed. He ate on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Lev said, where Hashem is, that's Kedusha. So for this man in this situation, eating on Yom Kippur made Yom Kippur Kodesh, because that is Ratzon Hashem, and that's Ratzon HaTorah through the framework of Halacha. So where the Ribbono Shel Olam is in our lives is Kedusha, and where the Ribbono Shel Olam is not Kedusha. So this is the experience at Har Sinai, when Hashem, and you saw the Pesukim I showed it to you with a number of Rashis, when Hashem and Unkus, when Hashem descended, according to Unkus, revealed his presence on the mountain. Nobody was allowed to touch the mountain of Har Sinai. It was too kadosh for a human being to approach, because that's where the Ribbono Shel Olam was. Just like in the Mishkan / Beis HaMikdash, nobody could enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because God's presence was revealed in the strongest possible sense. When Hashem departed from the mountain of Sinai, Hema Ya'alu Bahar, and the all clear blasted, you go come out of the cheder atum. You go come out of the sealed room. We didn't go into bomb shelters. We went into sealed rooms. We had to put bubble wrap and hard like construction tape around the bubble wrap, because they believed that it was a chemical warfare. We all had to put in our gas masks. When could you come out? When the all clear symbolizes that now you could come out. So bimshocha yova, when there's the all clear, so to speak, and God ascends from the mountain, you could come out. So what does that teach you? It further proves the idea that nothing is objectively holy. We don't have shrines in Yahadus. We don't have something that is filled with objective holiness. If Hashem is there, it's holy. Then Har Sinai is holy. If Hashem is not there, Har Sinai is chol. And whoever wants to go up the mountain, you saw it. Hey, my Yalabar, you could go up the mountain. Like Rashi says, Kisha Estaleg, when my Shechina leaves, so you could go up, no problem. So what makes something holy is the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. When he's there, it's Kodesh. When he's not there, it's not Kodesh. And Har Sinai has no intrinsic. We don't make pilgrimages to Har Sinai. We don't worship at Har Sinai. We don't even necessarily know where Har Sinai is. It retains no Kedusha. Hashem's Kedusha resides, so to speak, in the Torah. So wherever the Torah is, that's where Kedusha is. Har Sinai has no intrinsic value in and of itself. It was a mountain. It was holy at the time that God was on it. And then it was not holy when God departed from it. And this teaches us about living a life of Kedusha. It's about accessing the Ribbono Shel Olam wherever we are. Contrast this, interestingly, might bring up another mountain that's very important to us, where we do still go to daven at today only at the edge of the mountain, Rachmana Litzlan. Today is in literally today. Terrible riots on the mountains. I saw a tree atop Har Habayis was set on fire. But we do have a mountain today where we do worship, and where, not in the literal sense, we can't ascend to the mountain, but we stand by the Kotel, which is the retaining wall of Har Habayis, and we do. So what's the difference between Har Habayis, which we say that maintains its Kedusha, and Har Sinai, which has no Kedusha? So the Pasuk says, and I'm going to screen share a handout that I prepared for you right here. Can we see this? Okay, thank you. So the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Dome dodi letzvi. My beloved is like a gazelle. Ola ofer ha'ayalim, or a young hart. Hine ze omed achar kosaleinu. Behold, this one stands behind our wall. Mashkiach min ha'chalonot. He is supervising from behind the windows. Meitzit min ha'charekim, peering out from behind the lattices. So it's a very, very famous pasuk from Shir Hashirim that describes the love of the lover to the beloved. And my lover is like a gazelle or a young hart. And behold, this one stands achar kosaleinu, behind our wall. Mashkiach min achalonot, hashkiach, a mashkiach, supervises from behind the windows. Meitzitz min acharikim, peering from behind the lattices. So Medrash Bamidbar Rabba says as follows: Hine za omed achar kosaleinu, parsha yud aleph siman beis, za kosa ma'aravi shal beis hamikdash. This is the western wall of the beis hamikdash, she'eino chorev le'olam, that will not be destroyed forever. Lama shahashchina be Ma'arav. What is so special about the western wall? The Shechina is in the west. What does that mean? The entrance to the Mishkan was in the east. The Shechina, therefore, if the entrance is to the east, the Kodesh Kodashim was all the way in the back. So the Holy of Holies, where the Shechina resided, so to speak, is in the west. So the Hashem Shechina is in the west. The Shechina never departs. The western wall, Kosaleinu, will never be destroyed because this is where the Shechina remains. Furthermore, Medrash Shir Hashirim Rabba, Hine ze omed achar kosaleinu. Similar teaching, slightly different lashon. Achar kosa ma'aravi shal beis hamikdash. What does it mean? This one stands behind our wall. So the Medrash says, beferish, after the kosa ha'ma'aravi of the beis hamikdash. Lama? Why? She nishbolo kodesh baruch hu she'eino chorev le'olam. Kodesh baruch hu swore to this wall that it would never be destroyed. So what's the sultin Har Sinai, which clearly has no kedusha after Hashem ascends and the all clear is given, and then whoever wants to go up can go up. At the time of Matan Torah, whoever goes in will die. Just like Nadav and Avihu, lives were taken because they entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim when they were not supposed to because the Shechina was there. But after, Har Sinai is chol, Har Sinai is profane, and it's not a pilgrimage site, and it's not a shrine, and it retains no holiness because holiness is not objective. Holiness is where Hashem is, where Hashem wants us to meet him. So sometimes that means fasting on Yom Kippur, and sometimes that means eating on Yom Kippur. Contrast that to Har HaMoriah. Har HaMoriah does retain its Kedusha. Why does Har HaMoriah retain its Kedusha? Because Shenishvel, Kosh Baruch Hu She'eino Chorev La'olam, the Western Wall will never be destroyed. And furthermore, Shahashchina B'Ma'arav, the Shechina is still dwelling there. So I found something very, very interesting. I actually found this next insight quoted on a page on Chabad.org, but I thought it was really interesting, and I never saw this before. This is a teaching of the Zohar. The Zohar explains that this idea is hinted to in the word kosel. Kosel can be divided, you could break it up, into kotel. You can see it on my screen, I put it here for you. Ko and tel together becomes kosel. Ko, Chaf Vav, equals 26. 26 is the value of Hashem's four-letter name. Yud, then He, then Vav, then He. Two He's together is 5, and 5 is 10. Yud is another 10, that's 20, and Vav is 6. So the Cho of Kosel equals 26. 26 equals Shem Hashem, and Tel is a mountain. V'nivnasa ir altila, we say in Alech Hadodi Friday night, we ask Hashem to build the city of Yerushalayim in the end of days upon the hill, upon the mountain. Tel means a hill or a mountain. So the Zohar teaches, based on these two midrashim, I put both of them on the screen for you. They're slightly different, but essentially teach the same idea, that the Shechina is always there. The Shechina never departs, which is what gives the site its intense holiness, which is why we don't daven by the slopes of Har Sinai, but we do daven by the slopes of Har HaMoriah. Kosel is Kotel, Chaf Vav is 26, Shem Hashem, Tel is a hill. This teaches you, says the Zohar, that the Shechina resides upon the hill of Har HaMoriah. Cho, the Shechina, Yud, then Hey, then Vav, then Hey, always resides on the Tel of Har HaMoriah. So we see that there is no external source of holiness in Yahados. We don't make things holy. If God is not there, it is not holy. If Hashem is there, then it is very holy. I'm going to quote from "The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways," commentary of Rav Salvechik, actually to Tisha B'Av and the Kinos. Might sound like a funny source for a pre-Shavuot year, but here Rav Salvechik speaks about this idea of the Kedusha on Har HaMoriah, on Har Tzion, that never departs. So Rav Soloveitchik teaches as follows. The question is whether the sanctity will continue after HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted the Gentiles to destroy the Beis HaMikdash or not. Is there still sanctity there? The answer is, if there's not sanctity there, then why are we davening there? We don't daven at Har Sinai. Why do we daven by the Kosel HaMaravi? Why are we not allowed to ascend Har HaMoriah? If there's no sanctity, why can't we go up onto Har HaBayis even today? Why not? Because clearly there is some presence of the Shekhinah still there. So Rav Soloveitchik says one opinion is Kedisha L'Sha'ata V'lo Kedisha La'asid Lavo. There is Kedusha now when the Beis HaMikdash stands, V'lo Kedisha La'asid Lavo, but there is no Kedusha in the future. So while the Beis HaMikdash stands, is one opinion, there's Kedusha. When the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, that Kedusha is taken away. There is mutual exclusivity, says Rav Soloveitchik, between destruction and sanctity. But this is not how the Rambam paskens. If there's destruction, there can be no sanctity. I'm skipping a little bit. But the Rambam disagrees, Maimonides. The Rambam says, in both Hilchos Tefillah and Hilchos Beis HaBechira, despite the destruction, we still say Kedisha L'Sha'ata, Sha'ah, hour, there's holiness at the time that the temple stands, the Kedisha L'Asid Lavo, and there is also holiness for the future, in Jerusalem, in the Beis HaMikdash. According to the Rambam, post-Churban, not one iota of sanctity was removed from Har HaMoriah. How do we know? It's actually quoting a pasuk from this past week's parsha, Bechukosai. The pasuk says, in Bechukosai, I will make your sanctuaries desolate. V'hashimosi es mikdashechem. V'hashimosi es mikdashechem. So the Gemara asks a question in Maseches Megillah. The Mishnah asks, this is a stira. V'hashimosi, I will lay desolate, mikdashechem, your holy places. Either they're holy places, then they can't be desolate. Or they're desolate, and they're not holy places. Because what do we say holy? And he says, where the Ribbono Shel Olam is. So when the Pasuk says in Bichukosai, Perchavah, Vahashimosi Ani Asmik Tashechem, I will destroy your holy places. I will lay desolate, I should say, your holy places. So if they're desolate, they're not holy. Because if they're desolate of God, they're not holy, like Har Sinai. And if God is there, then they're not Shomema, and they're still Kodesh. So which are they? So the Mishnah there in Maseches Megillah states, we learn from this pasuk that it must be even after destruction, they retain the status of being kadosh. They retain sanctity. Otherwise, how could you say v'hashimosi amikdashechem, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, in the same statement? Otherwise, it's a contradiction. If it's desolate, there's no sanctity. If there's sanctity, there's no desolation. So the Rambam says this represents the great mystery that Kedushas HaMikdash and Kedushas Yerushalayim survived and will survive despite the Churban. So this shir is twofold. When I was given the dates of the shir, I did not realize when I was asked to speak a couple weeks ago, these two dates, I did not realize that not only is it Pri Shavuos, but it's also Yom Yerushalayim. So in a tribute to, if you will, both of these ideas, Har Sinai, where the Torah was given, Har HaMoriah, the bastion of Yerushalayim, Rabbeinu Yonah says on Pirkei Avos, Parak Alf Mishnah Beis, that the whole world was created for the avoda that takes place atop Har HaMoriah, Har HaBayis. So in an ode to these two events, today being Yom Yerushalayim, let me give thanks to Ribbono Shel Olam, the Har HaBayis B'yadeinu. Today it's a little bit questionable if it's B'yadeinu, Hashem Yishmar Aleinu. The ability to daven by the Kosel, where Hashem's Shekhinah never departs from. The ability to daven by Kever Rachel, to visit Chevron and the Ma'ar Samechpelah, the Golan Heights, the entire Gush region. You can walk on Derech Avor. So we're looking at the difference between these two mountains. Har Sinai retains Kedusha when Hashem is there, when Torah is there. But when Torah is not there, so there's no Kedusha on the mountain. But Har HaMoriah is very different. Why? Because we have seen two Midrashim already, that the Shekhinah never leaves from this area. And the Rambam says, despite Churban, Kedisha L'Sha'ata, Kedisha L'Asid Lavo. There is holiness in the moment when the Beis HaMikdash stands, but Kedisha L'Asid Lavo, the future always retains that degree of sanctity, which is proven by the fact that we're not allowed to go onto it. It would be a great tour site. Wouldn't you want to go? I don't know. It must be very interesting. Besides the security situation, why can't we go up to Har HaBayis? Because the Kedusha is always there. The Rambam explains, V'hashimosi es mikdashecham, this pasuk from Bechukosai represents the great mystery. Kedushas HaMikdash, Kedushas Yerushalayim survived and will survive despite the Churban. Churban, destruction, and Kedusha, sanctity, are in fact not mutually exclusive. So even though there was a destruction, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is so intense, unlike that of Har Sinai, which only had its Kedusha because God was there and because the Torah was given there. The Kedusha in this case never leaves. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, I studied the principle of Kedisha l'sha'atav, a Kedisha l'asid lava when I was a little boy. He grew up in White Russia. He talks about his cheder malamed very longingly. Maybe 8 or 9 years old. Maybe perhaps younger. Kedisha l'sha'atav, a Kedisha l'asid lava. The idea of Jews in Europe dreaming of this idea of Yerushalayim, that the sanctity never leaves, even when she lays desolate. It's not a stira to say, V'hashimosi ani es mikdashechem. Is it Shomema or is it a Kodesh place? It's both. It's Shomema, but it retains Kedusha. Somehow these matters, these problems, said the Rabbi Soloveitchik, attracted my mind, the young mind of an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old boy. They also attracted the mind of my father, the mind of a great Gaon in Rosh Hashiva, his father of Moshe Soloveitchik, the son of Rabbi Chaim Brisker. He too was attracted by these halachos. What is the status of Har HaMoriah today? Do not forget, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, I studied these laws in Russia. The Russians were very unfriendly to all the religious Jews. Indeed, to speak about in Russia, Kedisha l'sha'ata, the Kedisha l'asid lavo, there is Kedusha now, when the temple stands, when Hashem is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when there is a voda. But not only that, says the Rambam, v'hashimosi anias mikdashechem, even when it's shomema, it retains Kedusha, Kedisha l'asid lavo. The Shechina never departs. It always retains a sense of sanctity. In the historical terms, to think about this, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, in Russia, a young child in the first part of the 20th century was almost a fantasy. For us, yes, it's been hard to get to Eretz Yisrael, not hard, impossible. Over the past year plus now, Baruch Hashem, some people are able to get in, the borders are opening. But for them in White Russia, never mind Yom Yerushalayim, it was the days before the state, it was a fantasy. But today it is not a fantasy anymore. Now it is a reality. And he says, now that we have an army, this issue is a halachic problem and a practical problem. And I remember my husband heard Rav Asher Weiss Slita speak at the Young Israel of Woodmere a couple of years ago, and he spoke about how they have shy this day that they never had before. You never had a Jewish army. You never had a question of, what if there's a pigu on top of our habayis? Are we allowed to go up? Is the chevra kiddush allowed to go up? Do they have to wear shoes? Do they have to go to the mikvah first? These are shaylos we never had. Why? Because the area, the space, the mountain retains its kedusha even after churban. Why? Not because we make shrines. Not because something has objective external kedusha. Because there the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Where the Ribbono Shel Olam is kedusha, is kadosh, is holy. That's why Har Sinai is kodesh. Hachinu liyam ha-shlishi, be prepared, because what's going to happen on Yom HaShlishi? Hashem is going to descend, according to Unklus, will reveal himself atop the mountain. If God is there, that's Kadosh. If God is not there, it's not Kadosh. So when it comes to Har Tzion, there is always Kedusha there. Furthermore, where else is the Shechina? Where else can we find Kedusha? So I go back to the same pasuk. I'm going to screen share once again. So we already did this. The kosa is kotel. I thought that was very beautiful. As the Zohar says, chaf vav tel, 26. The Shem Hashem is always on top of the mountain of Har HaMoriah. So a beautiful medrash further teaches us. We're looking at this pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Dome dodi letzvi. Let's just review the pasuk. Shir HaShirim perek beis pasuk tes. My beloved is like a gazelle. Ola ofer ha'ayalim. Or like a young hart. So we already looked at the second half of the pasuk according to the Medrash. This one stands behind our wall, peering from the windows, peeking from the lattices. What about the first half of the pasuk? What does it mean that Hashem is like a young gazelle? If you've ever watched nature documentaries, you have seen gazelles running from place to place. They are amongst the fastest land animals, and they hop and they skip and they jump. Think of them running away from a cheetah. A cheetah can run very fast, but a gazelle gives a cheetah a really good run for its money. Pun is intended. They can run very, very fast. So the Medrash says as follows. Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabba. Do me do di letzvi. What does it mean that my beloved, us in the Ribbono Shel Olam, what does it mean that he is compared to a young deer? Matzvize midaleg mehar lahar, just like this young gazelle leaps from mountain to mountain, mibika levika, to from valley to valley, mi'ilan li'ilan, from tree to tree, umisuka l'suka, and from hat to hat, mi'gader l'gader, from fence to fence. So if you've ever watched the gazelle, they hop, they run, they skip from one place to the next. They go from mountain to mountain, from valley to valley, from tree to tree, from hat to hat, from fence to fence. What does that have to do with us and the Ribbono Shel Olam? Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mekafeitz mebeis haKnesset zeh lebeis haKnesset zeh. So where is the Ribbono Shel Olam now that the Torah has been given? And Har Sinai is not Kodesh anymore. You want to go, you know where Har Sinai is. So go up the mountain, take a picture, take a selfie. Don't fall off the cliff. There are instances, Rechman Hatzon, of people touring, taking selfies on the edge of a cliff and falling off. Technology makes us so crazy. Sometimes we don't even know what we're doing. So go up to Har Sinai. Hire a tour guide. Maybe it's a long hike. Take the cable car. Do, you know, like they have Masada Sunrise hike. So do a sunrise hike to Har Sinai. No problem. You're not going to be killed. No, Hashem's not there anymore. So where's Hashem? So he gave us a Torah. No Hashem El Kecha Shotzicha Meretz Mitzrayim Beis Avadim Dibra number one. Lo Yelcha Lemechem Apanai. Don't have gods of others before me. I don't care if it's your god is named Zeus or your god is named Yom Kippur. But you don't worship my God, said Rabbi Lav. My God says for you, Kedusha is eating on Yom Kippur. And if you don't eat on Yom Kippur, you can't have an Aliyah. So he ate. Apparently his Aliyahs are very important to him. So Har Sinai is not Kodesh. So where's the Kedusha? So it's by Har HaMoriah. So we go there and you daven a Shemona Esrei there, and you feel different than the Shemona Esrei in your living room. So where's the Ribbono Shel Olam? How do we access that Kedusha as Torah Jews today? Hashem gave us a Torah. Hashem gave us a present. You know the song, I'm not going to sing it. Do you know what it was? He gave us a Torah, and we must keep its laws. So where's the Kedusha transferred to in the absence of Kedusha of Har HaMoriah? So the Pasuk says, so the Medrash continues, and the Medrash says, just like the heart, the gazelle, skips from mountain to mountain, the highs in life. Mi bika le bika, the lows in life. Mi ilan le ilan, from shade, to fruit, mi suka le suka, just like an ilan gives shade, so too a hat gives shade. Mi gadar le gadar, from fence to fence. This path of the gazelle really describes different times in our lives. We skip from mountain to mountain, the high points in life. Sometimes you're in the valley. I don't know about you, but I'm sure you've experienced it like me. You go from tree to tree, shade. The animals in the African savanna, they seek out any tree that there is for shade. Misuka lesuka, shade to shade, hat to hat. From fence to fence, there are fences, there are breaches. You have to put up a gather for Torah. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mekafeitz mi beis haKnesset zeh lebeis haKnesset zeh. It's so beautiful. Hashem skips. He is our beloved. Domedo di litzvi. And he's jumping from base Knesset to base Knesset. Mi base Medrash, the Zel, the base Medrash there. From one Zoom shir to another Zoom shir. Let me see where they're learning Torah. Let me see how they adapted to COVID. Let me see what they learned from COVID. Let me see how they kept the Torah despite the barriers, the physical barriers that separated us. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael. Let me see where they're learning. Let me see where they're davening. Base Knesset represents the Makom Tfila. Base Medrash represents the Makom Torah. Kol kach lama, why does Hashem skip from shul to shul, from yeshiva to yeshiva, kidei levarech Yisrael? Because that's where Kedusha is. And that's where Torah is. And that's where Hashem can be found. So he skips to see us engaging in his Torah, HaKadosha. And he comes to bless Israel. Kidei levarech Yisrael. Be'ezu zchus, and in what zchus are we worthy? Be'zchus osha Avram. We continue in the path of Avram Avinu. Avram who brought the oneness of Hashem to this world. Avram who recognized the Creator. Avram who made Kedusha wherever he was by taking the Shechina. He called on the name of Hashem, God of the world. Last pasuk with Rashi, to Perachof Alpha Bereshis, I believe pasuk Lamed Gimel, when people would come to eat and drink at the Pundak and the Pardes of Avram Avinu, and they would say, thank you, Avram. So Rashi says, he would say, don't bless me, bless he who created the world, he who sustained the world. Hashem, Avram Avinu recognized the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kaviyachu, he brought him into his life and into the lives of the world, and there was Kedusha. And in the schus of Avram Avinu and our clinging to the path of Avram Avinu, Hashem skips from Beis Knesset to Beis Knesset. To base Medrash, to base Medrash, says the Medrash Shir Shem Rabbi. I didn't say the source, it's right here on top. It's Parsha Beis Simon Chaf Aleph. And that is how he is like a hart or a gazelle. So now we have gone through the beginning and the end of the Pasuk. Dome dodi the tzvi ola ofer ha'ayalim. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young hart, says Medrash, skipping from base Medrash to base Medrash, to base Knesset to base Knesset. That's where Kedusha is. when we live a life of Torah, when we take the Torah with us, it didn't stay in Har Sinai. Heim ratzim va'anu ratzim. They go to stand at the street corner. And we go to stand in the Beis Medrash. And when we take the Torah with us, that's where Kedusha is. When we take Ratzon Hashem with us, that's where Kedusha is. It is not objective. Har Sinai does not remain Kodesh. It had a tafkid. It fulfilled its tafkid. It was Kodesh at the time. Don't ascend, lest you die. But after, Heima Yalu Bahar. Unlike, and you know what's so beautiful? This pasuk really contrasts these two ideas. The beginning of the pasuk is referring to Matan Torah, base Knesset to base Knesset, base Medrash to base Medrash. The second half of the pasuk is referring, says the Medrash, to Har HaMoria. You have these two opposing mountains with these two diametrically opposed ideas. One was only Kodesh when God was there for a limited time. Then he gave us the Torah and he said, this is my gift. Take it wherever you go. And wherever you live a Torah life, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nasa V'Nishma, wherever you live a Torah life, that place will be a place of Kedusha. And I will come from Beis Medrash to Beis Medrash, from Zoom session to Zoom session, from one shir to another, to Beis Knesset, to bless you, because there is Kedusha. Kol Melkom Asher Azkir Hashemi Avo Eileich V'Erachticha. The Medrash actually quotes it in its expounding of this pasuk. That's a pasuk from the end of Parshas Yisro, the Parsha of Matan Torah, Perchof. Hashem says, wherever my name is mentioned, I will come and bless you. The second half of the pasuk is referring to the other mountain. The second half of the pasuk, as we've learned in the Midrashim, quoted Rabbi Soloveitchik, the second half of the pasuk is referring to the kedusha of Har Habayis, and that is always there because the Shechina never leaves. We have a tafkid. That tafkid is to live a life of kedusha wherever we are. What does that mean? A life of kedusha? Live with the Ribono Shel Olam. When the dodi knocks on your door, open up the door. Pischili. Are you awake or are you asleep? There is no objective sanctity. If it's filled with Torah, if it's filled with Ratzon Hashem, if it's filled with Tefillah, if we take the Torah with us on our sojourns, the Torah didn't stay on Har Sinai. We're charged with taking it with us wherever we go. And then we live a life of Kedusha. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, quote, interesting, when God reveals himself to Moshe, and he told them the people should prepare for Kabbalah Satorah, for receiving the law. Hashem told him, and now Rav Soloveitchik goes back and quotes the beginning of Perek Yotes. What do the Psukim say? Hashem says to Moshe, Im shama tishmu bekoli, ushmartim es brisi, v'yisem li sugula kili kol ha'aretz. That's Perek Yotes, Pasuk Hei. Im shama tishmu bekoli, if you will surely listen to my voice, ushmartem es brisi, and guard my covenant, v'yisem li sugula mikol ha'amim, you will be more cherished, more precious than all the other nations. V'atem tiyuli mamlechas kohanim v'goy kodosh, el hadvarim asher tadab el b'nei Yisrael. You will be from 19:6, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So Rav Soloveitchik now expands upon these two psukim, which are the introduction to Matan Torah, beginning of Perek Yotes. Interesting. When God reveals himself to Moshe, and he told him he should prepare the people for Kabbalah Satorah, for receiving the law. So Hashem said, you shall be unto me a kingdom, a priestly kingdom, and a holy nation. You'll be a mamlachas kohanim, goy kadosh. And Hashem says there, kili kol ha'aretz. How can you be a goy kadosh, says Hashem? Goy kadosh, focus of Rashi, where is Kedusha? Kili kol ha'aretz, the whole earth is mine. Look up Perek Yotes, Psukim Hei through Vav. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, the earth is mine. Why does Hashem say, Kili kol ha'aretz? What does that have to do with the election of the Jewish people as a priestly nation and a holy nation? Why does Hashem need to add, oh, you're going to be an Am Segula, you're going to be a Goy Kadosh, you're going to be Mamlechas Kohanim, Kili kol ha'aretz. What's that doing here, Kili kol ha'aretz? I know Kili kol ha'aretz, you learn Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis tells me, the whole earth is God. Look at the first Rashi and Chumash. So why do I need now to know the whole earth is mine? What does it have to do with the election of the Jewish people to their tafkid? The answer is, says Rav Soloveitchik, I am electing you as a priestly nation, as a holy nation, not only here on Har Sinai, not only in the promised land, the Hevesi Eschem, where I will bring you. Kili kol ha'aretz means wherever you will be. It doesn't matter. The universe is mine, says the Rav Kot, even on the moon, even on Mars. Galus proves that Torah and mitzvos are not contingent on geography or chronology. I have said it many times, says the Rav. If I were permitted, I would add a 14th animamin Don't get scared. This is the Rav verbatim. The Rav thing allowed Sefer Bereishis verbatim. If I were permitted, I would add a 14th animami. Don't get scared. What would the content of the 14th animami be? Animami be'amuna shalema, shakol ha-Torah yicholal hiskayim b'chol makom u'b'chol zman. Because if you don't believe that animami, says the Rav, what's the point of the other 13? And I quote verbatim. Ani mami be'amuna shalema shakol ha-Torah yicholal hiskayim. Now I'm going to translate it. B'chol makom u'b'chol zman. And if you don't believe that one, says the Rav, what's the point of the other 13? I believe with perfect faith. Shakol ha-Torah, the entire Torah, yicholal hiskayim, can be upheld, can be kept. B'chol makom, in every place, u'b'chol zman, in every time. If you don't believe in this one, says the Rav, what's the point of the other 13? If your relationship with God is dependent on geography or chronology, here it's holy, here it's not holy. Holiness is wherever you take the Torah. If you don't accept that animamin, says the Rav, what's the use of the other 13? If animamin is dependent on geography or chronology, then when the Jews are scattered all over the world, what will happen to Torah? The moon, yes. If you want to know about Mars, I'm quoting. I can tell you, yes, Mars too. Har Sinai does not have intrinsic Kedusha. The Torah has Kedusha. And wherever we take the Torah, that's where we make a Malkum Kodosh. And that is what our beloved, who is compared to a gazelle, is skipping from Beis Medrash to Beis Medrash, from Beis Knesset to Beis Knesset. It's not that Har Sinai has retaining Kedusha. It doesn't. The Shekhinah departed, and it's not Kodosh anymore. Unlike our Har Maria, which maintains its Kedusha, which is why we can't take tours up to the top of Har Maria, which is why you cannot ascend the mountain, because the Ribono Shel Olam is always there. Har Sinai lost its Kedusha, but the Torah retains the Kedusha. And where is Torah? Wherever we make room for Torah. Wherever we let God in, that's where he is. And that's where Kedusha is. And the Kedusha of Har Sinai was transferred. It became transitory wherever Torah is. I'm just going to begin... To begin the ending, I've been speaking about the Meiron tragedy, and I think it's important for us to read about the different Kedoshim who lost their lives, to know what special people they were. Imo Anochi Bitsara. We should not feel like, oh, it was a week ago, that's old news. Chalila V'chas. Think of the families. Is it old news? God forbid. So this is Rabbi Eliezer Tzvi Joseph from Kiryas Yoel. He was 27 years old. He had four children, 7, 5, 3, and 1. Rabbi Eliezer Tzvi Joseph preferred the quiet of the backstage for his acts of chesed, but he knew when to step in and no one else was getting involved. He was a brilliant Talmud Chacham. He managed to imbue his children, 7, 5, 3, and 1, with the amunah that everything the Eibishter does is for the best. Says his brother-in-law and Chavrusa, they are holding up as well as possible under the circumstances. The Eibishter gives koch. This is from this past week's mishpacha. Rabbi Lazer Tzvi, as he was known, had recently completed learning the entire Hilchos Shabbos. He was scheduled to take a fahera this past Sunday at the basin of the Eda HaCharedis. Instead, his neshama was in Yeshiva Shalmala, having succumbed to the crowd crush during what his family thinks was his first time in Meiron, Lag BaOmer. He was born in Eretz Yisrael. Shortly before his bar mitzvah, his family moved to the Statmer neighborhood of Kiryas Yoel. His wife, Frady, his doting children. He established a gemach that gave out interest-free loans. He would help out people who he didn't know. He had a face that was always glowing. He had a smile, always a good word for everyone. Rav Moshe Lazer, his brother-in-law Chavrusa, recalls getting a call from Rav Lazer Tzvi last week. He was at the airport gate leaving Eretz Yisrael, and he had 15 minutes to learn. He had the time, so he didn't want to waste those 15 minutes. It was the last time they learned together, and this is why I'm bringing to you the final piece, besides the fact that we should read and share their pain and not think, oh, it's a week, it's old news. The mothers, the fathers, the 63 or so, maybe. It's not old news. Where's Kedusha? Wherever the Ribono Shel Olam is, that's where it's Kedusha. It's not an objective place. It's wherever you let God in. Wherever you take Torah with you, wherever you take a moon in the path of Avraham Avinu, Hashem skips from that base medrash to that base knesses to bless us. While leaving the Toldos Aron area of Meiron, Rabbi Lazer Tzvi was caught up in the crowd and passed away. Even during those final chaotic moments, he did not lose his composure. A man who was standing near him during his final minutes called the Shiva House to tell the family of their father's last words. The overwhelmed man called and he said, I heard him say Shema Yisrael again and again until his neshama left. His face was shining. He was totally recognizable. Where's the Ribono Shel Olam? Wherever you let him in, wherever you make a home for him, that's where Kedusha is. It's not a destination. You don't have to travel to across the world. You don't have to go to Mars. You don't have to go to the moon. It's not our Sinai. Wherever you establish a Malkum Torah and Kedusha, that's where the Ribono Shel Olam is. And that's the constant reacceptance. Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom Alevavecha. Shu Chadashim Kilu Nitztavu Hayom. Make every place you are Har Sinai. And that's where the Ribono Shel Olam will be. I thank you very much. I pass you on to the next speaker, and I wish everybody a wonderful Zman Matan Toraseinu, week of Besuras Tovos. Thank you so much. Kol Tov.